Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatapye Kanta Bhakteshu Pasya Bhupanu Kam Patam. Yamne shum chagita sakshad Krishna darshana agata. Yet despite being equally kind to everyone, he has gradually come before me while I'm ending my life. For I am his unflinching servitor. Purport. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna,
yeah,
although equal to everyone, is still more inclined to his unflinching devotee, who is completely surrendered and knows no one else as his protector and master. Having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend, and master is the natural condition of eternal life. A living being is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. The opposite tendency is the cause of fall down. A living entity has this tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent to lord it over the material world. The root cause of all troubles is there in false egotism. One must draw towards the Lord in all circumstances. The appearance of Lord Krishna at the deathbed of Bhishma Dev is due to his being an unflinching devotee of the Lord. Arjuna had some bodily relation with Krishna because the Lord happened to be his maternal cousin. But Bhishma had no such bodily relation. Therefore, the cause of attraction is due to the intimate relation of the soul. But because the relation of the body is very pleasing and natural, the Lord is more pleased when he is addressed as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the son of Yasodha, the lover of Radharani. This affinity by bodily relation with the Lord is another feature of reciprocating loving service with the Lord. Bhishma Dev is conscious of this sweetness of transcendental humor, and therefore he likes to address the Lord as Vijay Sake, Artha Sake, etc., exactly like Nandanandana or Yashodhanandana. The best way to establish our relation in transcendental sweetness is to approach him recognize devotees. One should not try to establish the relation directly. There must be a via medium which is transparent and competent to lead us to the right path. Okay, I just want to make one more test that I didn't get disconnected. Is someone please announce yourself? I just say Hare Krishna.
You're still connected.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, greetings from Vrindavan. And, I'm set up here by Giriraj Swami's mercy with a very, very wonderful facility, devotional service. But it's wonderful, but it seems that this is my place of preaching more than any place else in the world, because so many people are coming to Vrindavan, and over the years, come in. I will. You want to come to the class? Or? Okay. Well, let me just tell you, this is Baladev Vidyabhushan. You all know him. And him and his friend are just two old men, two fat old men, as he said, are going to do the whole Brudge Mundo curriculum by themselves. That means they're just going to walk to all the holy places in Brudge. How many days do you have for that? They have to do it in 35 days, which, you know, the first walk is walking from Vrindavan to Mathura. So there's a few 20-kilometer walks. But they go to very beautiful places, Bahulavan, Palavan, Naruvan, and they're just doing the whole sadhu thing. I don't think many people can do this. Where are they sleeping? They're just going to put a blanket out by the side of the road. I mean, where are they eating? They're doing a whole dependence on Krishna thing, so it's glorious. And Baladeva is coming to just before he leaves this evening. And I'm just wishing him really well, and you should all wish him really well, because this is a very wonderful thing, too. And you're disconnected from everything. You leave the world. I mean, and it's not even like they usually go to a party with an advance party, hundreds of devotees and camps of where you're staying. They're carrying everything. That means they can't carry very much. And I guess this was a lifelong dream of them to just do this in a way. And it's also good for the health, which you need. Got to get his triglycerides down. Okay, we can. Well, unfortunately, I can't speak to you now, but thank you for. What? You can take one. Take one in there. And also, if you need, are you hungry? Okay. Anyway, this is, I'm demonstrating what I'm talking about. But today, Raghunath, you know Raghunath, Ray Capo Raghunath came with a group of people from America on a tour of India, and this is the last stop. And these are really quite well-established people. It seems some of them are my age. And I offered to host them for prasadam. So they came to my place, and this very nice lady named Analia. You may know it from Gunagrahi Maharaj. But she's also cooking for me here, and she made such a beautiful prasadam. You know, she's so enlivened and preaching. These people come, a very beautiful place downstairs. We also got from Gopal Raj apple and spinach turnovers and sweet and sour sabji, chapatis, yellow rice, dal, Jagannath Prasad someone brought, you know, feeding these people here. And then we went into the temple, and it was so nice bringing them to the temple, and they saw the samadhi lit up at night. It was just, they were overwhelmed, actually. And then it's Sunday here, that means it's packed. And you come in on Sunday, and it's amazing. There's 500 people actively doing kirtan, of all ages, of all nationalities, so many Indians. And it was just wonderful to just see the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Prabhupada, how people come and get that kind of energy and experience. But that means that I just made it here because I was just with them. But let's get into this wonderful thing. Let me see if I can get it back in. We're in this story of Bhishma Dev, and it's a very interesting section because we know that you know, this Yudhisthira was overwhelmed with guilt. He was overwhelmed with misery. He was overwhelmed with fear. Sounds familiar? And no weight or historical evidence could alleviate it. And he goes to Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev gives one of the most thorough philosophical analysis of why bad things happen to good people, and you can't be gooder You can't be better than him. That's Dharma Raj, and he's kind of someone just got on and a nice analysis. And here, what happens is he points that it's all the will of God. And when you actually have that realization and you understand something about the nature of God, it changes your whole perspective on viewing difficulties that you have, because you feel shelter and you have faith in it. And that's an experience. It's a realization. You've experienced that in your life by being dependent on Krishna. And because you've experienced that, you have faith. You have faith that you're sheltered, you're protected. And that in that relationship with Krishna, all necessities are met. There's no problem. You have faith, it's God's will. It's the inconceivable will of God. And then he says, let me see if I can find that part, which is kind of interesting, too. And he says, it is him, niyatya. No one can understand the inconceivable will, the plan of the Lord. And then he points, it's Krishna. And now we're in a section. And therefore, you should follow that plan. And don't worry. Just follow that plan. And then he explains who Krishna's position is, which is not ordinary. Krishna is divine. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And he's in everyone's heart. And therefore, because he's in everyone's heart, sarvatmana samashrisho, he's equal to everyone, etc. And now you get to this point. Yet despite this equality to everyone, he's graciously come to me while I'm ending my life, because I'm his ekanta bhakteshu. I'm his unflinching, one-minded devotee. I've taken full shelter, and therefore God reciprocates. I don't have to go too much over this point, but it's a basic, one of the, actually the main points of our philosophy. This is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. We depend on Krishna, and we serve Krishna, and our advancement is his reciprocation with us. That's why in the process of bhakti, you can advance above your own karmic capabilities in jnana and vairagya and in the modes of nature. You can advance beyond it because our philosophy is God as a person, and therefore by worshiping and surrendering to him, he reciprocates by purifying our hearts and removing the obstacles to come to him. Shundata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vijanta Stoya Bhagavani Vidanoti Siddhitam. He's Siddhitam. He's close in heart to the devotees, and then Vidanoti. Therefore, he cleans the heart, he purifies us, and this is the process of Bhakti Yoga. So, in our philosophy, because God is a person, the natural opulence of the person is to reciprocate love, and if you depend on God, he gives you shelter. Now, he's equal to everyone because he will reciprocate with anyone who depends on him fully. As you surrender, Krishna rewards accordingly. He's equal to everyone because he will respond to anyone who does that. He has no partiality. He sees everyone as his parts and parcels, and therefore is willing to benefit everyone fully with his mercy. So, Bhishmadev is now explaining that here. And in explaining that, he's also answering in another way Yudhisthira's question of why, you know, someone of his stature, or why people suffer in this world. And here's the point, that a beautiful point, a living entity, listen to this point, Prabhupada's so clear on this, it's very wonderful. A living entity is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. So this is the position of happiness, the condition of absolute dependence. And then Prabhupada says, the root cause of all troubles is there in false egotism. So this is one of the ways that Bhishma Dev is dealing with this question, that whatever suffering people go through, if approached in the proper attitude and way, has the fruit of dependence on God, and therefore the suffering has a fruit of happiness. It's kind of like you squeeze a boil, it's to make you happy. But the pain is there, but the pain is part of the process of making you happy. So the pain is part of the process of making you happy, which is dependent on God, which is dependence on God. Anyway, Bhishma Dev is explaining this. This is a very important point in the philosophy, that God's partiality is reciprocation to the devotee, is not a defect, not karma. It's part of the opulence of personality. So he's explaining that here, Bhishma Dev. And now he'll explain, let's see, well, we'll go to the next word. I can't read my notes. Maybe I'll say this. Okay, we'll just read the Sanskrit and then we'll explain it. Bhakti Nesham and O Yetmin, Vacha Yadnama Kirtayat. Kajan Kalevaram Yogi Nuchite Karma Karnadi. The personality of Godhead who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting the holy name releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of his quitting the material body. So just see, yet despite Bhishma Dev, and this is his bhav, he's dependent on God, and because of that dependence, he's attracting the mercy of God. And what's the mercy of God? The mercy of God that he's appearing before him. And God appearing, or God being the focus of our attention, naturally draws out the eternal nature of the soul, which is to serve him. When we meditate on God and we are on a progressive spiritual path, when we meditate on God because he is attractive and because we have a natural relationship with him, and because he's all attractive, we become attracted to him and we want to serve him. It creates the desire for our eternal position. And spiritual life is simply based on desire. Because of one type of desire, we're identifying with the material body. And another desire will liberate us. And what's that? That's the desire, the attraction to Krishna, and the desire to serve him. So this is the greatest mercy. This is the greatest mercy. The greatest mercy is that which absorbs the consciousness in God. Because that will bring out the spirit of the soul and the nature of the soul and the harmony of between who we are and what we're doing and what we're thinking. That's the wonderful thing about spiritual life, that all your desires can be fulfilled. Material life, they never can be fulfilled. Because ultimately, the material desire is for dominance. And that's so limited by our constitution. So the material aspirations can never be satisfied, and they'll always be frustrated. And they're not satisfying in the first place. Even if you get all your material desires met, there's still duality in the world, which means if material desires in relationship with the body, which is temporary, and therefore there's duality. Whatever happiness you get, there's an equal amount of distress because that happiness is temporary, and you know it. And also that happiness is external to the soul. So it's not really you. It's a difference between dreaming something and actually experiencing it. So to enjoy and control independent from God is a dream. It's a dream. It's an illusion. So it's not really you. It's not your real pleasure. So this is the greatest mercy. Impeachment. And at the end of life, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantyam te kalevaram tam tame vaiti konteya the god tad bhava bhava. Whatever you think of the time of death, to that nature you'll go. So, and Bhishma Dev is now explaining this so nicely to Yudhisthira. And he's explaining, look, I depended on God. And here's the fruit. The fruit is his shelter. It's a shelter. Because the personality of God that appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting of the holy name releases the devotee from the bondage of fruit activity. At the time of quitting the material body, Bhishma Dev is also showing us the art of dying. What a juncture. What a juncture. You know, I mean, what our consciousness is in this life and at the end of our life, to that nature we will go. And what we are now, whether we like it or not, is a product of the decision we made previously and what we were thinking of previously. And I know the people on the Sangha, I know myself, no one here enjoyed growing up generally in the Western world and growing up in the competition for sense gratification. And I, very frankly, I mean, I forget, and I don't want to forget, the existential anxiety I had until I got transcendental knowledge from Prabhupada and understood that I'm not the body and that I'm eternal. I remember, I don't want to forget, I can specifically remember when I was in the crib. I know what that crib looks like, I know what room it was in, and I remember being in that crib. And I don't want to be in the crib again. I want to be born in Goloka in Krishna's pastimes. Have to go through that again. So this is the junction. And the bondage of fruitive activities. What is karma? Prabhupada defines it. It's defined in Bhagavad Gita. What's karma? Karma means to get a material body by dint of fruit of desire. So, fruit of activity, from that bondage, you can get out of it. Why? Because it burns up that fruit of activity. What is the fruit of activity? It's ahankara. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, and therefore I should do things for my enjoyment and control. Rather than the service of God. But when God appears in the mind, by very nice here, bhaktya, adesha, mana, appears in the mind by the holy name, this Nam is we have to dedicate ourselves to Nam. That's really the key. There's no way around it. When you get attracted to the Nam, when you get attracted to the name, you'll get attracted to the named, to the person. The process is Nam. We have to give some concentrated time to Nam, to the holy name. This is the most powerful way to control the mind and to invoke the nature of the soul. You can only be ultimately happy when what you want you actually get. And if you want Krishna, you can get Krishna. Everyone can get Krishna. He can appear. Now this is very interesting because this explains, and the purport's very nice, it explains this is what this bhakti yoga means. It's a very, very good example of bhakti yoga. And what is, how bhakti is yoga? And yoga, we know, it's very popular now, that the first yoga sutra is Chitta Vritti Nirodha, that yoga means to restrain the mind and to detach it from matter. And so such concentration and that concentration is called samadhi, and samadhi means when the concentration is so fixed on truth, on the absolute truth, with no cognizance of anything else. So you can do it by gyan, which means just by fixing up the conception that I am not the body, and then trying not to act on it, and where the mind goes, you pull it back. Or you can control the mind by developing attraction to the absolute truth. And naturally, the mind will flow away from matter. Bhakti yoga has three distinct advantages to actually control the mind. One, bhakti develops an attitude of loving service. The mind is born of a false ego. I am the controller, and I am the enjoyer. That's what the mind is. If you think of your uncontrolled mind, it's a repository of thoughts trying to, and you're just trying to figure out where I can enjoy the most. That's the mind. But the root is the false ego, the desire to be the enjoying controller. When you develop bhakti, you nullify the root of the material mind. Because bhakti is antithetical to false ego. And in the process of bhakti, rather than just trying to drag the mind from sense gratification, the mind naturally flows away from it when it becomes attracted to God. And the third thing in the process of bhakti yoga is because you're depending on God, you're not dependent on your own power, but you're getting reciprocation and help from God. So when your consciousness flows towards God, God reciprocates, and he helps you. So here, Bhishma Dev, and he's explaining, this is his yoga. What was his yoga? He completely depended and served God, and God reciprocated with him. And now at the time of death, God is there. He's able to focus on him. And that's samadhi. Now here, it says such a yogi devotee of the Lord engages himself 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord. So his whole attention is engrossed with the thoughts of the Lord in ninefold devotional service, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, praying, all these items to absorb the consciousness naturally. I was just in the temple and watching these thousands of people in this kirtan. And this kirtan is very powerful. Why? Because the mind and melody, music, is so powerful and so naturally captivates the mind. When you do sankirtan, you inject within the melody and the music the mantra. So people who are not even great yogis and don't have a great capacity to control the mind is naturally controlled just listening to the song and the music. And they become absorbed, and you can become absorbed in Sankirtan on a very, very high platform. But it's the same as the yogi who's withdrawing his mind from the sense objects. Even though you don't have that yogic, yanic, vairagic, making up my own words, potency, you get the same result. The mind becomes detached from matter, naturally, in this process of bhakti yoga. And not only that, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's mentioning, Krishna calls that the best yogi. Yoginam api sarvesham madhyate nataratmanam shradhavam bhajate yomam. Of all yogis, he worships me with faith and devotion is the best of all because he's the most absorbed. Absorption is superior when it comes from the platform of attachment than detachment. In other words, it's easier to absorb the mind in transcendence by naturally being attracted to transcendence rather than understanding you should fix the mind in transcendence. In other words, you can absorb yourself if you have a natural liking and attraction, and that's what bhakti is. It's not just an understanding, I should do this. It's an understanding, I like to do this. You develop an attraction to kirtan and the holy name. So you're absorbed out of natural attraction, which is very good because you probably don't have the power to pull the mind away from matter just by the force of your intelligence and understanding because we don't have very strong samskaras or impression, janic samskaras in our consciousness. So Prabhupada is glorifying this process that Bhishma is demonstrating. Such material life is produced by material desires only. Devotional service to the Lord does not kill the natural desires of the living being, but they're applied in the right cause of devotion. You don't kill the desire. It's such a wonderful process. We just have to apply ourselves to it. We have to chant and hear, and we'll develop an attraction for that. And that's the fortune. I'm going to read one more verse and then open it up to questions. So there may be two more verses. Tadeva deva bhagavanta pikshitam alevaram yavaridam anomyam kasana sagra lochano lutam akambucha jnana patascha tukhtur bhija. And this is the bhav, the mood of Bhishma Dev. May my Lord, who is four-handed, and he's beautifully decorated, lotus feet with eyes as red as the rising sun is smiling, kindly awaken at the moment when I quit this material body. It's very interesting. This is another interesting point that Krishna is a person, and a person manifests himself in different ways according to different relationships. And you have a particular relationship with the person and you like to see them in that way. You know, it's kind of like in the modern times, you know, you have a mother but she dresses like a teenager. You know, it's kind of like you wish I just had like a mother who was a mother, just like in the old days. You had a mother who was a mother, something like that. In a maternal form, rather than always in a conjugal form. People, you know, you think of that. you know, in that way. Because people have conjugal forms, they have maternal forms, they have friendship forms, you know, and God manifests accordingly. So Bhishma Dev wanted to see God in the relationship that he had with him. And this is also a very essential point. By the mercy of Prabhupada, we have some Bandha Visheshyan, and what is it? Some Bhagavad Sarupyan. We have the form of God to which we have an eternal relationship with. And we have an understanding of the relationship with servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Of course, there may be Radha Krishna, Krishna Balaram. We have some Bandha. And that sambandha, that are relationships, which is based on a particular type of love, gives you pleasure. So Bhishma Dev had a particular relationship with God as Narayan, and he wants to see that four-handed Narayan, but he's humble. He doesn't feel that perfection is guaranteed. He's a humble devotee. And very nice Bhishma Dev. So he wants to see, naturally, that form which he is attached to. And Krishna is coming to reciprocate with his devotee. Krishna has the full capacity to reciprocate with us. So as we have a particular relationship with him, he will manifest in a way to satisfy us. If you have a maternal or paternal relationship with God, he will appear as a child, Kumara. If you have a paternal affection with God, he will appear as a sporting young boy between 6 and 10. And a little bit before they go with the girls, make better friends. As Poganda, 6 to 10. And if your relationship with God is conjugal, you'll appear as Kishore, 11 to 15. The same person manifesting according to the devotee's love. And now, then we're going to start next week on Sutta Uvacha, Sutta said, describing this. Vajrasthira, after hearing Bhishma Dev speak in that appealing tone, asked him in the presence of all the great rishis about the essential principles of religious duties. So he's going to now answer about Dharma. And this is Krishna glorifying his devotee. One of the themes that went through this in this whole section that is very, very wonderful is, as Krishna is a person, he reciprocates with his devotee. And that's what he's thinking, God. Because God is thinking of how he can please his devotee. And this story is about that. And how he can please his devotee, Yudhisthira. And he wants to please his devotee, Bhishma Dev. And he wants to please Bhishma Dev in three ways. One, by making an arrangement by which his grandson could come to him at the end of his life. His grandson has suffered so much. He can see his grandson at the end of his life in a very established, aristocratic way. Yudhisthira comes before him. He also Krishna wants to satisfy Bhishma Dev's desire to seek him at the time of death, so he appears as form before. And he wants to glorify his dependent devotee. And therefore, Bhishma Dev is a Kshatriya. He's not a Brahmin. He's in a show, he's Mahajan. Krishna wants to glorify him. This is what happens at the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The great, valiant grandsire of the Guru dynasty, Bhishma Dev, lying on a bed of arrows. All the sages start to come. Yudhisthira comes, and then they're all seeing in that condition how he's answering. Prabhupada was compared in many ways to Bhishma Dev when he died. One, Bhishma Dev lying on a bed of arrows, where Prabhupada was lying on his bed, and he hadn't eaten. He was in a very painful condition. But it's so amazing how he, in Jayadvaita Marj, and you see the love and devotion he had to Prabhupada, putting that microphone before Prabhupada, and Prabhupada translating the Brahmadi Mohan Leela from his back in a very sick condition. And anyway, it was almost as Prabhupada left at will when he wanted. Okay, I'm going to stop here for today. I did spend time preparing, but this is what I prepared so far. Would anybody like to ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Maharaj, and I have two questions. You know, you already answered, but you know, I wanted to get clear. Bhishma Dev, because I was reading Bhishma Dev's last one when, you know, Prabhupada has translated that this valiant, you know, soldiers who fought so many battles now kept quiet, and then, you know, he, like a yogic posture, he internalized.
Yeah.
So now my question is that he knew Krishna is in front of him. Why he desired 400 Narayan?
Because that was his relationship. He was mixed with Aishwarya. It says Bhishma Dev knew well that Lord Krishna is the original Narayan, his worshipful deity, but his worshipful deity was four-handed Narayan. But he knew that the four-handed Narayan is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. Indirectly, he desired Lord Krishna to manifest himself in his four-handed feature of Narayan. That was his relationship with it. And it's an eternal relationship. It's kind of like if someone's main relationship is as a parent of Krishna, then he wants to see Krishna as a child. Because the child is more dependent, and it's the object of maternal affection. We all know that the maternal affection flows much more deeply the younger the child. So that's the spiritual world. It's the same person, but you look at Radharani. Radharani did not want to see Krishna at Kurukshetra, because he was Vasudev Krishna. He was in the role of opulence. He wasn't manifest as her lover. Because of the environment, he couldn't manifest as her lover. Because he was holding court, and he was the king. He couldn't express that intimate side, which is the part of Krishna, or the manifestation of Krishna, whom she has a relationship with. Same thing when the gopis were looking for Krishna, they left the Vasa dance, and Krishna manifested his four-handed form as Narayan, and the gopis came by him, and they neglected him. They say, "Did you see Krishna? Did you see Krishna?" And they went right by him. So it's natural in the spiritual world, when you have an eternal relationship with God, to want him to manifest in that way. And if your mood is Aishwarya, you're not that interested to see God as a cowherd boy. because your bhav is awe and reverence. And Krishna is not the object of awe and reverence. He's either equal or below his devotees in terms of his status and position. So he wants, Krishna, he wants the form of God. Just like, let's say someone was the faithful servant of a big political leader, and the political leader was just in his pajamas at home playing with his kids. That's not the form of that person that attracts him. So he would like him to put on his uniform, and he would like him to go to the court, and he would like to see him high and almighty, but that's his bhava mood. So that's Bhishmadeva's mood. So he's asking Krishna to appear in terms of his Ishtadeva. What's the second question?
Second question, Maharaj, you mentioned about your own that existential life that you had and everything, but because of Prabhupada's mercy, you understood soul and body is different. And we have read enough. I can tell for so many years. You know that every day morning, I think that I'm not the body. But how to live, that because we are living in a material world, bombarded by all those things, activities and everything. And I think I'm very unable to dissociate soul from the body.
You have to make a plan to chant here and bring out the nature of the soul. That's the only way. And as you get older, you have to increase it. That's all. I mean, your children now are both away from home and college. You're hopefully making a plan to wind up all those activities that are distracting to you that you have to do and you have to work through karmically to purify yourself of certain desires. And hopefully, as you're getting older, you'll do more concentrated time. Or, if not, take pilgrimages where you can get that type of absorption and inspiration. I know, it's not easy. We're in the world. And, of course, Mahamuni often asks those questions as ways to look at the world in a spiritual way, too. But I think it's the same question he asked, and I think the same answer is we have to become servants of the Holy Name and understand that the Holy Name, the only purport of the Holy Name is that he's a dark blue boy that lives in Vrindavan. When Balada Acharya, who had some pride in his knowledge, want to demonstrate that to Lord Chaitanya, well, first he said, I want to read my commentary in the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya says, well, the only commentary I know is the Holy Name. He says, oh, I have some nice, I can give you a purport on the Holy Name. Lord Chaitanya said, there's only one purport I know on the Holy Name. There's only one meaning. The Holy Name is a little blue boy and he's living in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj or something like that. And anyway, I forgot my thought, but the point I'm trying to make is we have to become attached to the Holy Name. There's no other answer. There's no other answer. And we have to look at our lives and see in what ways we can become more attached to the Holy Name of Krishna. And with faith, that will be everything. With faith. I know one person, a younger person, and became a little inspired. I have to wake up a little earlier before the day starts, and I got to focus on that name. And, he's doing that. He's showing so much reciprocation. Then, when you become a servant of the Holy Name, then you'll start to see everything you're doing in relationship to that. And your life will change. Or either your consciousness will change, or your life will change, or your consciousness will change, and then your life will change. But it's all in the Holy Name. Where is that kirtan? Let me participate. Let me get my deeds. Where can I wake up a little earlier and chant the Holy Name of Krishna? And If I can't, then where is my retreat? Where is my pilgrimage where I can have some concentrated time? It's the only answer.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, are there any other questions?
I have another small question for Maharaj, if you allow me, no?
Okay, go ahead.
Now, I know Mahamuni is not there. You know, he's a pedantic person. His questions are very wonderful. And one thing, he mentioned the appearable and everything, you know. But in the lecture, he mentioned that, you know, Krishna reciprocates by taking away the obstacles. What obstacles? Is it for the, maybe there is material obstacles or spiritual obstacles?
Well, he takes away the spiritual obstacles, or he takes away the material obstacles if he wants. He can take away whatever obstacles he wants, or he can give them if he wants. We know that verse, when Krishna favors the devotee, he takes away. It doesn't mean that he always has to take away material things. Sometimes he favors and gives it. But Krishna, that verse is there, Shastra. Shrinjata swapata Krishna punya shravana idyantisto yubhadrani. That which is auspicious to devotional service, he removes. And Prabhupada in the purport explained that. He said, even stalwarts on the path of devotional service have felt sway to the allurement of money and women, or the opposite sex. There's even stalwarts on the path. So Prabhupada said that if you take shelter of the holy name and you try to chant without offenses, amazing things will happen in a short time.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Any other questions?
Maharaj?
Hello.
This is Hare Kirtan calling. Hare Bol.
Nice to hear from you.
Nice to be back. Maharaj, I don't have a question, but I do have a comment that it's from the going, gone school of analogy.
Okay.
When you were speaking about Bhishmadev and Bhishmadev's relationship and how he wanted to see his worshipful Lord, when I was a child, my worshipable heroes were found on baseball cards. And
right.
They weren't so exciting if it was just a photograph of a player standing there. You want to see them in action, like robbing someone of a home run or hitting the home run or something along those lines. So when we worship someone in that mood of that, you know, heroic mood, you know, we want to see them in that heroic mood. We don't want to see them, you know, off the field. And
very nice.
That, anyway, so yeah, in a way that's simple to understand, I thought perhaps that's, you know, a useful analogy to relate to our experience.
That's a very useful analogy. It's a very good one, and it does relate to our experience. You know, it is. When you have that chivalrous rush, you want to see the person in the uniform, right?
Yeah.
You know, walking on the golf course, or you know what I'm saying. I mean,
you don't care about their home life. You want to see them, you know, in action.
In action, right? Yeah, very good. Thank you. That's very clear. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
We should speak on the phone soon. The next few days, settle down, just touch base.
I'm available at your convenience.
Okay. I like it in one sense, but I mean, I have all these books and I'm writing things, and it's just such a pretty constant stream of people. But it's I have my Govardhan time, and because I actually as I'm getting older, and I by Krishna's grace, I'm sannyas, and I don't have really management responsibilities. I'm seeing that I increase the time of pure non-fruitive activities in my life. You know, when I mean like that, of course, you can, service is not fruitive if it's done in the proper way, and I know that, but just chanting and reading. I try to wake up, and then I extend the time of the day to a certain time that I do it. I'm increasing that. And I forgot why I mentioned that. I guess I'm a little tired, but I don't know. Anybody else have a question? I'd like to say Hare Krishna.
Maharaj Nandadwal, again, last two Wednesday, I couldn't listen to the lecture because there was no connection.
Well, what happened was, is I couldn't get on the phone. That's what happened. I couldn't, from India, it had to do with India. It was busy and I couldn't get on, but I got on after a half hour.
Oh, so is it in the internet?
Yeah, it's not. It was something with the Indian phone, which is generally good. Okay? Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hello, who's that?
This is Nitya Seva. Please accept my obeisances.
Hare Krishna, Nitya Seva. Very nice. I just want to tell you, your friend Analia?
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, I'm so happy for her.
Oh, her and Augusta, they're like my favorites. They're the ones that are cooking for me every day, and then I have this group come, you know, these like, really, you know, really like Americans, like older people, and, you know.
Yeah.
And she whipped up in that kitchen, boy. It was so good. And, you know, she worked all day, you know.
Yeah, and she loves to do it.
Oh yeah, she's got such a nice service attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and I have such Roxy with her and Augusta.
Oh, I'm so
nice
happy
people.
To hear. Yeah, I'm so happy to hear. Please say hi to them
for me. I'm gonna have her let her use my phone to call you one day.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I will do that. Okay.
Sure.
Thank
you very much. No problem.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Good. Hare Bo. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo, who's that?
It's Pringle Bhakti.
Prema, Hare Krishna. Hi. Thank you for coming on our Sangha. Come in. Okay, it's the Sadhu, it's Raghunatha, Sadhu, and Jason Sadhu. Come in. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bo,
okay.
Mahamuni.
Hare Bo.
Jai.
Is that Mahamuni? Okay. Okay, I'll have to go now. Why don't you call for through yourself and listen to me, the stuff I do not have any of this.